Amen. Thank you, Sister Clark. She pulling double duty. She sung for us yesterday at Singer Patriots. What a blessing. Amen. Hey, folks, it's a spiritual battle. Amen. It's a spiritual battle. We're all in it every day. Well, the preacher's asked Brother Parsons to bring the message to us this morning. So come on and preach to us, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And then, if you're like me, stick something from your filing cabinet there. And then go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Let me say to all of you that are visiting with us, I'm so sorry that our preacher is not here. He is my favorite preacher, greatest preacher in all the world. And should he have been able to be here, I would have been just as happy to you to hear him this morning. But you're stuck with me. Amen. And preacher said he was going to try to listen on the radio today. And preacher, I want you to know that we love you. And that we're going to be praying for you through this week. So many people, I don't know if you listen to the prayer list, but so many of our good people from our church are hurting right now. And let me employ you, just prayer changes things. And we have a restore-thon, and our radio station is coming up. Pray for that thing. Our preacher is sick. Pray for him. Lift him up to God. We asked you not to call him, but we didn't ask you to stop calling out his name to God. Amen. I want to admonish you. I believe that what God's given me today is a message from heaven. It's what God wanted us to preach. I had questioned. I just want, preacher can come back and straighten it all out if I mess it all up. But I just want you to know today that our country's in a mess. And I've been burdened this week. And I've been worried this week looking at all the things that are on the news, burden for our country and our state. This tragedy's happened in Parkland. The shooting that went on this week is a tragic, tragic thing, but almost just as tragic is to see the mind of our nation on some things. How crazy this world has gone. When people start to speak their heart, you find just out where they are. I believe that in this day and age, Christians, what was sung we need to turn the tide. It is more evident today than it's ever been in any time that I have ever lived, and probably some of you with grayer hair than I have could say the world has lost its marbles. When you take God out of the school and you teach them that there is no God, when you take prayer out of the school and you don't teach them the book or how to pray, and then when something tragic happens, you beg people to pray. Pray to who? They don't know who God is. They've never seen him work in their lives because they've been thrown out and cast out and taught that he does not exist. That everything can be explained by science. And we know that that's not true. Oh, my soul. My heart breaks today. Can you imagine a person that has gone through the tragedy that's happened in our state and in our nation trying to deal with this sorrow, this kind of heartbreak without God? Not knowing where their friend's soul will spend eternity. And even this, and you can say what you want, and I may be meddling right here, but I believe that this book preaches and teaches that the government has the right to capital punishment. And I'm here to tell you today, if you want to stop this foolishness, they'll put this boy to death. And you say, Brother Parson, listen, I believe that he ought to be tried in a court of law and that they ought to make the decision, and I'll be happy with that under the nation's laws. But I'm here to tell you to plead guilty after what you did so that you can keep your life. He knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. To plead guilty that quick, and you say, Brother Parsons, you're getting outside of it here. I'm setting it up, friend. I'm setting it up. We're getting ready to go to the book. But I want to tell you today, the world doesn't believe like we believe anymore. There's not enough good people left on the outside of the church walls anymore that believe enough of the book to do right. I'm here to tell you today that we have got to rise up and I mean, as a righteous people, and preach what we believe, say in the public what we believe, because the public doesn't hear it anymore. Because the church has kept quiet way too long. And there's far few radio stations like ours that will broadcast a message live that will be preached from this place to today and from every other Sunday from a preacher that will stand up for righteousness and preach the book. I'm here to tell you our country's gone crazy because the blind are leading the blind. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to teach there is no God, and then they want to pray to Him when trouble comes. You can't have it that way. They're going to fix everything. They're going to tear these buildings down so these kids never have to see the buildings anymore. That's not how you deal with sorrow. That's not how you deal with heartbreak. You don't try to wipe it off the map like it never happened. You try to tell the people, listen, because the towers are gone in our nation that happened on 9/11, it didn't stop the heartbreak of the people that died there. It didn't mean that it changed what happened on that day, or it changed the lives of those that lost people that they loved. It only meant that we had, listen, that they were gone. It was a forever reminder of what happened. And the world thinks because they scrape a few buildings off of the scene or they do a few things here and there. Listen, the cry today is for mental health. The only way to have mental health, listen to me now, is to get God in your life. To read this book that tells you truth. The only way to have true mental health is to know who to pray to and who to trust in. You mark my words, and I may be speaking a little bit of prophecy today, but I'm here to tell you, you better be careful how much you let this government have its way and make laws about mental health, because they'll be putting us away in a few years if we let them do that. They'll use these same mental health laws that they'll enact because of a tragedy like this, and they'll be saying those people that believe in God are crazy, and we need to put them away. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. And let me just say this, because y'all are wanting me to, and I'll just go on and say it. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. All right? That's all I'll say about that. Matthew chapter 15. Now that I'm meddled, let's preach. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 15 and verse number 12. And my wife, I've been preaching a revival, and I've been going about 45 minutes to an hour, and she said that wasn't going to cut it today. So we'll get after it, because I know y'all want lunch. Amen. Matthew chapter 15. Let me pray and ask the Lord to help me today. Dear Jesus, I beg you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you give me unction to function today, that you would do a work that I cannot do. If there is one person in this room today that does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would not leave this place lost. I pray for the saint that's here, dear God, that they would be able to worship you and take a truth home with them that will help them through this week. I pray, dear God, Holy Spirit of God, that you would go into the hearts of the hearer and convict hearts. Help us, dear God, to leave this place closer to you than when we came. I beg you again for all those that are sick and hurting and broken from our midst and those that are far away that need prayer, dear God. I pray you'd be with them today. Help them to know that a church loves them and is praying for them. I pray, dear God, you'd be lifted up, that you'd be seen as mighty and all-powerful today. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 15, if you look in verse number 12, and we'll just, if you want a title for the tape room, maybe you already got it, The Blind Leading the Blind. In verse number 12, he says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Let me tell you, when you tell truth, people get offended. Even religious people that are crazy. Religious people that don't know who God is. In verse 13, he says, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted," you get it? Unsaved religious people, "not planted shall be rooted up." Verse 14, "Let him alone. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Can I tell you today that the world has been left to itself so long that we live in a nation today that shows very few, as we approach President's Day, very few semblances of the Christian nation that we once were. The Christian nation that we used to be, it would be unthinkable to try to take the right to bear arms from its people. That same nation, in its inception, would never have thought a Congress that had the first sets of Bibles printed for its nation, for its school children, that same nation would think it unthinkable to take the Bible from the classroom. And that nation that called out to God so that it could become a nation would think it crazy to take prayer out of its schools. But we are no longer that nation. We are something that is departed from our basic biblical foundation. We are a nation that now has changed and said, we want it our way. We're a nation of a group of people with the blind leading the blind. I'd like to tell you today that, you know, everything's going to be all right. If you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's some hope for the Christian. And it's not in staying here. There's some hope for the Christian today, and it's not that we're going to make everything better, although if the world would turn to Christ, it'd get much better. And the Christian must preach what he believes. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you would, and let's begin in verse number 3. He's here, he's talking to a church that's got some problems, amen. In 2 Corinthians, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, amen, of the power may be of God and not of us. Can you see here today that the difference in the blind leading the blind is them seeing the light? So many times in the past we've talked and I've heard people sing about people seeing the light. And boy, for me it was that way. I grew up in a local church and I got saved, I mean, at 15 years of age, and I had heard about Jesus. I was like a religious Pharisee. I went to church, and I went to church, and I went to church. I heard the gospel, and heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel. But one day, the Holy Spirit of God turned the glorious light of the gospel on in my heart and mind. And I understood that I needed Jesus more than anything else in the world. That I needed to trust in His sinless Son, God's sinless Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I needed to receive Him as my Savior, that His payment on Calvary, His blood atonement in heaven, was a full payment for my sin. I didn't need to work for it. I couldn't do anything to earn it, but I had to accept what Christ had done on the cross for me. I had to believe with all that I am that He was not a dead Savior, but He rose again on the third day, and that He was seated at the right hand of God waiting to return. Listen, I want to tell you today, the reason the world is blind is because they do not understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit of God that illuminated my heart and my life and quickened me at the moment of salvation, that same Holy Spirit for you, believer, that quickened you on the day of salvation, that has never happened for a lost and dying world. And they must hear from us day after day after day after day after day how good Jesus really is. They need to hear how He can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. They need to hear over and over again. You say, Brother Parsons, we have been through at our church a busy time. There's just been one thing after the other. But I want to tell you today, I thank God for busyness. I want to be busy about the Lord's business until He returns. I don't want a day to go by that I take it easy, that I sit back on my laurels while the world is lost and on its way to hell, while people are falling off the edge of, if you were, into a devil's hell, not something that was prepared for them. But you know, this world, listen, it lives in sorrow, great broken-hearted sorrow, because it knows not a God of comfort that we know. Listen, how are you going to give comfort to someone else that doesn't know Christ? If you haven't ever, listen, lived out the gospel in front of them, given them a gospel that they can believe in, shared a Jesus that loved them enough, loved the world enough to come from heaven, leave the robes and the crown and the glory of heaven and His Father, and come to earth and live as a servant, lowly, broken, undone, marred beyond any other man, and then give His life on Calvary for this world. This world doesn't know sacrifice like that until they know Jesus. They don't know anything about the Christian life. Because listen, we have trained several generations now that there is no God. We've changed the world because I'm for Christian schools. I'm so thankful that my children did not attend that school. I'm so thankful that there's a place that this church made a place to draw its children to a place of protection. And where they can be not just from a gun, but from what is taught in the public school system. But the Bible has some things to say about this blindedness. Look at it with me, if you would. In verse number 4, he says this. In whom, he said, but if the gospel be hid, in verse 3, it is hid to them that are lost. This lost and dying world doesn't understand some things, and the reason why in verse 4 is, in whom the god of this world, who is the devil, by the way, Satan, old smut face, Lucifer, whatever else you want to call him, Satan, I'm telling you today, listen, he says, the world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you're taking notes today, number 1, they're blinded in their minds. Their minds are blinded to understand. Listen, do you realize it doesn't make sense to the world that somebody else could come and pay for their sins? Do you know this old world thinks, listen, even in this core, the one thing that the world has not lost is the idea that it needs to work for what it's going to get. Even though that this old socialistic system has tried to overtake capitalism, there's still a group of people, and most people today still believe, even in religion, if they're religious people, that they're something that they have to do to go to heaven. Not that there's something that's been done for them so that they can go to heaven. You know that there's more people in this world that are lost and undone that believe a false doctrine than there are people that just don't believe in God. Because people, and we've seen it this week, even when tragedy strikes, they call out to pray because they believe that there is a God. They just don't know. This verse says that when they see it, they see the image of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when I pray today, when I bow my head, I call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in His name and beg Him to do things because He loves me. I call out to Him because He's the one that saved me. I call out to Him because He is my Savior. Can I tell you today, I take comfort in that. And I know that the indwelling Holy Spirit makes intercession. Listen, to the intercessor between God and man. And I want to know today, listen, when was the last time you called on Him that comforted you? All right, listen, you think about that time. What is the lost world doing? When was the last time the lost world saw you get comfort from that? When was the last time when troubles came that the lost world saw you call out to God in His name? It ought not be in secret. It ought not just to be thankful for food in a public place. Although I thank God for people that'll pray. But even others out in the world ought to see us deal with troubles and sorrows differently because we have someone different to go to. They ought to see the image of God in the one that we trust in, the one that we hope in, the one that we place our all in all in, that our mindset. Can I tell you, church, today, listen to me. I'm afraid that I'm losing you slightly because I want you to get this and I want you to get this good. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Can you get it today? Do you understand that the mindset of the Christian is not the mindset of the world? That the blinded mind of this world is because it does not know that God, that it does not understand that this and that there's a life after this one, that they'll spend eternity somewhere, and their mind has been blinded but an old smut face devil. Our children, listen, why do these tragedies happen? Because good Christian children play a game system and they just shoot everybody and they tear everything up. They watch movies about this stuff. Everything on TV is about some crime scene investigation, and we wonder why we've desensitized our children and we've torn our country apart, because good Bible-believing churches and people that live in this world watch that trash every day. And they don't think that it hurts people, but it hurts. Listen, your children have heard the gospel and they have an inward Holy Spirit that defends them. But what has the world got? What is some lost kid that rides your bus? What is he thinking in his mind? And he's been filled up with horror movies and church. And listen, can you think about what's going on inside the world's kids? Your heart ought to break when you realize they don't have a comforter or a Jesus to believe in. They have nothing. Their minds are only filled with, think about Noah's day, only evil continually. We used to live in a nation of good, where even good men did good. We live in an evil nation today. And men that seek to do evil, even in Washington, D.C. today, people are blaming everybody but themselves for this tragedy. When good men used to stand up and say, I'll own this one. Good men used to say, this one's on me and I'll fix it. You know, we're not trying to fix it today. All we're trying to do is pass the buck. That's what I've noticed on the news day after day after day. We're just trying to pass the buck. Try to lay the blame. Hey, why don't we try to lead people to Jesus? Blind minds. They can't see. I see blinded hearts. Look at the verse, if you would. Look at verse 5. He says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. If your mind cannot understand or fathom who God is, or who Jesus is, the image of God, what about a heartbreak like this that we've seen this week? Listen, when I trusted in Christ, I believed in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and I was saved. And it did something for my heart. It changed me from the inside out. I had a heart that was no longer blinded to God, but one that now had God residing in it as the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus named him as the Comforter. Do you know how much comfort you receive, believer, because you're saved and you have the indwelling Holy Spirit? Amen. Do you know why the tribulation period will be so terrible? Amen? Amen. Because God will withdraw his Holy Spirit from this place. And listen to me, the devil will be turned loose with no restraint. That's why I can't believe some crazy mid-trib doctrine. Amen. Because I'm going, when I go, I'm going with the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Can I tell you today? He's blinded not only the minds of this world, but he's blinded their hearts. Their hearts are after money. They're after things. They're after agendas. Trying to change and shape the world after their God. Remember the verse said, the God of this world? They're trying to mold and shape and to bring him into power. to bring him to a place where he can stand up and claim himself to be God. It's what he's wanted since the beginning. Can I tell you, their hearts are blinded because they love the wrong person. They love the wrong thing. You know what will change their mind and their heart? Seeing you love the right thing. Thank God for you being in church today. You know your neighbors that didn't go to church took notice of it. You may not think they did, but they saw you pull out of the driveway. They saw where you went. They saw your love because you were dedicated to the house of God. You know they'd see that on Wednesday night and Sunday night if you came. They'd see every time you pulled out the driveway. They see where your heart is. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't have to go to church three times a week to show that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. If I didn't come home every night, my wife would wonder who I loved. If I didn't show up every time there was dinner on the table, she'd wonder who I was dedicated to. You say, Brother Parsons, now you're just meddling. Amen. I'm preaching, friend. Look at verse number 5. Why do we preach this way? Why do we believe this way? He said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I must hasten, but I want to tell you, listen, they're blinded to the system that God wants in place in this world. Do you know that this world system is trying to... Listen, God's system is one of separation. Independent, local, autonomous churches. Separated bodies of believers. Separated from the world. Separated from groups. This world is trying to work a system to bring itself under this God of this world. Trying to bring it all into one. It's working all those things to get this world. Listen... And if you don't see that happening all around us in every decision, and I guarantee you just what's happened in our state, we ought to be able to see it firsthand. They are going to try to make laws and enact things because of sorrow and because of heartache that will get us closer to a one-world government, will get us closer to a time where the Antichrist can come back and set up his... They'll try to get to a place where they can take guns so they can take over. And I beg you, church, don't fall for that silliness. But listen, can I tell you this? If you're here and you're blinded to those things, everything I preached today, you didn't believe in any of that. You never even heard that before today. You're here for the first time or the second time. Let me tell you, what you need most is to try to get the light turned on in your life. And that's the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I stand here today and I do not preach myself, but I preach the Lord Jesus Christ, him, his death, burial, and resurrection. It's the he said in John chapter 14 in verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, I didn't make it exclusive. Jesus made it exclusive to him. He said that, listen, I wish that men could get to heaven any way that they chose, but that's not the way God set it up. God set it up so that you had to come through his son and give his son glory. You had to come by the way of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would turn on the light, that glorious light of the gospel on in your life, and you could see Jesus, the image of God, the real, the only true God in your life, and you could accept him as your own Savior, and you could be saved and get this gift, the Bible says, of eternal life. Listen, today, more than anything, more than I want America changed, I want you changed if you're here without Christ. More than I want everybody else to get the right mindset, I want you to get your heart set upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. Let me beg you today, do not leave this place if you're unsaved without Christ. That's not a demand, it's a plea. It's a broken heart from a preacher today that says, please, 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 don't leave here. The alternative of heaven is a literal hell. And man, listen, man is a created being that will have no end. And he will spend eternity in one of two places. He'll have eternal life and live with God, his Savior, or he will have eternal death and he'll go with the God of this world to where he's going to go. I can't beg you any more than I can. Listen, this book, it goes on to talk about, listen, all the wonderful things in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. That's what we need to apply to our life, Christian. Does the world see power that's outside of yourself and you, that it wants what you have, that it'll see the light of the gospel in your life? Are you a lighthouse to this world? Listen, and how do you struggle with sorrows? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The church has gone through troubles in every age, but it's been able to handle it because it has the Lord Jesus Christ as its light, as its center, as its hope, as its comforter. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I beg you to become one today by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, by believing with your heart that he was raised from the dead and what he's done. But Christian, I beg you, be a lighthouse in this world. The world desperately needs it. They will make all kinds of changes in schools and in their lives to try to protect from the God of this world, and they'll just be doing exactly what he wants them to do. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, the pianist is going to come, Brother Burt's going to come, and I'll turn the service over to Brother Perkins in just a moment. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, I'd like to pray for you this morning. You're here and you've never come to a place where you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me today? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven." Was there one anywhere that I might pray for? Yes, sir, I see that hand. Is there anybody else today? Is there anybody else that would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved"? Amen. Maybe you're here and you say, "Brother Parsons, pray for me that I'd be a lighthouse that I ought to be this week. God convicted my heart. I'd like for to be that lighthouse you preached about." I see those hands. I see them. Amen. I'm going to pray for those things. Would you stand with me as I pray? And as soon as I finish, the piano will begin, Brother Burt will begin to sing. And if you are here and you don't know Christ as Savior, if you're a believer and you raise your hand, would you come and do business with God? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises that help us, dear God, to know that even in the midst of a crazy and lost world, that we have promises from God that we can stand upon and we can hold on to, that we can be the lighthouses that you want us to be in our community. I beg you, dear God, you'd be with those that slipped their hand up, maybe others that I did not see that were in the pew and their heart is burdened to be the witness that they ought to be to the lost world. I pray you'd be with them and help them this week to be that way. I pray, dear God, for the lost that are in the room. Maybe they raised their hand, maybe they didn't, but I pray that at the first sound of the song that they would make their way to an old-fashioned altar and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. For the Perkins.
As I am.